My freshman year of college, I had gotten done with, close to done with the first semester, and it was time to sign up for classes for the next one, and they did horrible academic advising, so it was like a group of 100 of us, and they just said, these are the common things you all need, and go figure out the rest on your own. And so as I was figuring it out, I realized I had room for an elective in my schedule, and I just started flipping through the course book. What looks interesting to me? And I know that it makes me a dork, but the one that jumped out at me was Intellectual History of Modern Europe. And I thought, that sounds wonderful. I want to take that class. As a dumb freshman, I didn't realize the numbers for the courses meant anything, and it was actually a graduate class, but I survived. But I loved that course because it was just an overview of so many things of how human thought has developed, of science and astronomy, of music and philosophy, economic theories and political theories, and how it was all interwoven and had developed over the last 500 years or so. And I realized a couple things from reading all that material, from going through that course. One, the people that came before us that we didn't know as much as we did, we're not stupid. You know, we've had hundreds of years of building on the information that they have given us and discovering more and more and more, and they were brilliant people, just without the benefits of all the knowledge that we already had at our fingertips. But the other thing I realized throughout that course is, for as much as human knowledge can advance, can make life better, we don't know it all. And we make mistakes along the way. Some great discoveries were made, but they always didn't end up well for the people who made them, or for the world, or other things. For example, Madame Curie discovering X-rays is a great medical tool. She didn't really understand what radiation did and ended up dying from it. Or like the atomic bomb, we've got power and atomic energy and all these things, but we didn't realize how devastating it is, how long its effects last, and whole parts of the world are uninhabitable for who knows how long. Sometimes, as wise as we are and as much as we know, we don't understand the implications of our actions. We don't have all the answers, and we never will. And yet, we live in a world that thinks human knowledge has advanced so much that we can figure out the solution to any problem. We've discovered more and more, and medicine and science are advancing every day. And we've stopped realizing the limitations of what humans can know sometimes. Perhaps not just knowing about things, but how to use them well. In our first and second reading today, we hear about wisdom and foolishness. This beautiful reading from the book of Proverbs talks about wisdom having set up her house and spread the table before us, and her maidens call out over the heights of the city, "Let whoever is simple turn in here. To the one who lacks understanding, come, eat of my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness that you may live. Advance in the way of understanding." Wisdom calls out to those who are simple, laying a banquet before them to partake in. But how often do we want to think of ourselves as simple? We think we have all the answers, we know it, or at least if not me individually, we as a society, we have great wisdom and knowledge, and why would I need to listen to things of the past when I've got all this understanding that they never had? But oftentimes the wisdom of the ancients is far wiser in how we should comport ourselves, how we should live our lives, than how we live today. Just because we can do something doesn't mean we should. And yet we've forgotten that. Our world is driven by science and knowledge and understanding to the point where it's infected our faith. We're in our fourth week of the Bread of Life discourse, and guess what? You got one more week to go. There's more to come. But in our faith, how often do we try and understand it intellectually instead of partaking of the wisdom that is there and living it out? Just this week, I got a text message from a friend of mine who's a priest as well, and he said, in preparations for his own homily, I assume, "Is there a better way to describe the Eucharist and how it works than Aristotelian metaphysics?" I'm like, no, there isn't. But it touches on our limitations of our understanding. Jesus tells us, my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you do not have life within you. Can we truly understand that? Are we ever going to grasp the reality of the Eucharist in its entirety? And if we think we can, what hubris and pride do we have? The Jews in the gospel today have that same reaction as us. How can he give us his flesh to eat and his blood to drink? How can this happen? And sometimes our faith becomes so intellectual, because so is our world, that we forget to realize that we are mortal, that we will never figure out all the answers, that we could never possibly match the mind of God who created the universe and us and all within it. We'll never understand it, not the natural world, and certainly not the supernatural aspects of the sacraments, of the Eucharist in their entirety. At a certain point, we have to trust. And we trust every day implicitly without realizing it. We would never have come to be where we are in the world without trust in our lives. We trust that those discoveries thousands of years ago are true and keep building on that knowledge, but we don't go out and refigure it out for ourselves. When you get into your car to go home after Mass, you trust that the engineer who designed your car designed your engine not to explode. Otherwise, you wouldn't get in the first place. You trust when you go to the doctor that they have the knowledge and education to help heal you, that you don't have yourself, and you trust that they truly desire to do you good rather than harm. Each and every day, we run into the limits of our own knowledge and have to trust other people to provide for us where we lack, to be simple and rely on the wisdom of others. If we are so trusting with one another, why are we not as trusting of God? Do we truly believe the words that he says, those rules that he's given us to live well? Do we trust that what he says is true when he says that he loves us and came to save us, not to condemn us? Do we trust God, the creator of the universe, when he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you do not have life within you? Or do we continue to think that we just haven't figured it out yet? That there's more to learn intellectually? That I don't have all the answers and the key lies in knowledge? Brothers and sisters, I hate to say it, but you will never figure it out. You will never understand completely. And that is okay. God has laid out a banquet before us, not to understand and to be able to recreate and to do all the recipes, but simply to partake, to allow ourselves to receive the gift that God wants to give us, to trust that he really does love us and want what is for our good, whether through the teachings of Jesus and the scriptures or through the sacraments placed before us. You don't have to understand it. That is perfectly okay. And you never will. But what God asks of us instead, to be truly wise, is to recognize our limitations. To know that we can't figure it out, we can't have all the answers, but God does. And he asks us to trust him, to have faith, to believe that he truly desires what is for our good, and to live according to that. In that, brothers and sisters, is wisdom. To recognize our limitations, to turn to the one who can provide for us where we cannot, and to accept that gift. The foolishness of humanity from the beginning in the Garden of Eden was to think that we could be like gods. The foolishness from the garden persists today, thinking that we can control everything if we just figure out how the world works. We forget the most important truth, We are part of something greater, a mind greater than we could possibly comprehend, a God who created the universe and all within it, and we will never fully understand what God knows. In wisdom, we submit to that. We submit in trust, and we acknowledge where we're at. I won't have all the answers, but I don't have to. If I can trust my car to not explode when I get in it, how much more can I trust the God of the universe, who came to us as a man, who died for our sins on the cross, who rose from the dead and showed us what is possible? How much more should I trust in him? Brothers and sisters, let us not give in to the foolishness of this world, but be truly wise in allowing God to provide where we cannot.